Hey guys, what's up? It's Greg. I'm back with another episode of Flick City. Here is my interview with Bridget Smith. She is a director of this new film called Snow Babies. Snow is spelled S-N-O, Snow Babies. It is headlined by Katie Kelly and Paola Andino. They are both fantastic in this movie. It is a very hard-hitting film. It centers on these two girls, best friends in high school. They both do really well. They start getting addicted to Oxy, start getting addicted to pills, ultimately transitions into heroin. So it's about how both of them are trying to overcome this addiction to drugs, specifically heroin, and to see if they can actually make it out on the other side on a positive way. Now, again, Katie Kelly is the main character in this movie, and Paola Andino, she's a secondary character, but she does have a meaty role in this film. Both of them are put through the proverbial ringer. Their characters are Snow Babies. When you think of drug addiction drama, you might think it might be a straight-up predictable PSA film with hopefully a Hollywood ending. What I enjoyed about Snow Babies, it is a little bit more true to life and realistic to what can happen to a family that, you know, that is affected by this tragedy, this addiction. It's very well done by director Bridget Smith. Now, the proceeds from this movie will raise money for the Global Recovery Initiatives Foundation, GRI. And that is, quote, a national community foundation dedicated to funding support services for people in early recovery from substance use disorders. Every sale and stream of the movie, I'm reading this from the website, the soundtrack and the song Maybe It's Time will raise money for GRI. Now, I've listened to the song Maybe It's Time on my morning walk around the neighborhood. I love that song. It is from 6 a.m. Nikki 6, I believe I'm looking. 6 a.m. presents Artists for Recovery, and the single that's released is Maybe It's Time. And members who are featured on the track are Corey Taylor, Joe Elliott, Brantley Gilbert, Ivan Moody / AWOL Nation, Tommy Vexed. And, you know, the soundtrack itself is really good. I am not a big rock fan, but a lot of the tracks from the soundtrack to Snow Babies, I really, really enjoyed. So I was actually listening to this album on my walk this morning. So please check out Snow Babies. Read up about it. If you don't watch the movie, at least support. Take a listen to the soundtrack. And I'll put all links to and information about the film and all that stuff. By the way, the movie Snow Babies comes out on digital and VOD on September 29th. Okay, so really interesting film. And here's, you know, the interesting, just as interesting as that is my 18-minute interview with director Bridget Smith. It's really, you know, she's a busy filmmaker. She has her own production company, and this is really a big, ambitious project for her. And what's cool about this interview, she really talks about how directing wasn't really her first love. She was initially a stand-up comic, an actress, a theater veteran, all that stuff. She had all of those disciplines before ultimately transitioning into the filmmaking field. And she also talks about how Katie Kelly and Paola Andino, the reason why their chemistry was so palpable in this movie was at the start of the movie, they were really close friends even before a line of the movie was ever shot. So my only regrets for this movie, for this interview, that I mean, is I should have asked Bridget Smith a little bit more, but I should ask her a lot more about the Global Recovery Initiatives Foundation, GRI. That's a really cool thing that this movie is doing with its proceeds. Pretty awesome. And yeah, again, speaking of awesome, take a listen to the Snow Babies soundtrack. And if you want to see some really great acting, check out Snow Babies, Katie Kelly and Paola Andino. And also Michael Lombardi, if you're a Rescue Me fan, Michael Lombardi was a cast member from that series. I used to watch that series back in the day. I definitely recognized him right off the bat. So anyways, here's my interview with Bridget Smith. Stay for the after interview because I'm going to do a couple of plugs for cinematics and what I'm doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here is Bridget Smith. Bridget, first of all, I thought Snow Babies, very serious film. It's hard-hitting, but when you see, a lot of times when I see films that are hard-hitting and serious, they go halfway, and then they make it into a Hollywood film, yeah. Feel-good film. And respect to that, I understand that's the tenets of storytelling. 100%. But you did not want to go that way. Can you just talk about your approach?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I think me as an individual does, I am very drawn to truth and grit. And I think just telling it like it is kind of that, that's who I am as a person. But the script was also written in that manner. So I fell in love with the script. It was incredible. It was a story that I wanted to tell. But keep in mind that Mike Walsh, who's the screenwriter, you know, there's no doubt the script was amazing. It was brilliant. But then Mike and I went on to actually do a lot of research before making the film. You have to with a film like this. That meant meeting with recovering addicts. That meant meeting with countless families that had lost children to addiction. And when you start doing that, you realize you're really not benefiting anyone by putting a Hollywood spin on anything. You know, taking a subject matter like this and making it pretty in any way, shape, or form, or even something easy to digest, it's just the wrong way to go. It's the wrong way to go, in my opinion. And my sensibilities combined with the script, combined with the countless stories and people that we met, it just felt like the approach. This film had to be driven by the people who had walked in this world. That's 100% what it needed to resonate with them, to get it right, to tell the truth. And that was the approach. So, you know, my decision to kind of create a film where I think people almost lived in the film, you're living in the movie versus just kind of hanging by and watching it, was kind of the way I wanted to go with it. Maybe a little beyond the fly on the wall feel.
Definitely beyond the fly on the wall feel. But, you know, these actually the two leads in the movie, Katie and Paola, I believe. Can you just talk about casting them? Because these are, both these roles should be going to real, just in my opinion, hardcore veteran actors, and they both do a great job. Can you just talk about preparing them for such a meaty role?
Yeah.
And it just seemed like a very hard thing to do, and they both pulled it off.
Oh man, yeah, pulled it off, and oh God, I couldn't be more proud of these girls. So it's funny you should say that. The original casting idea was to cast a name in the role of Kristen, and by name, I mean someone with a background, someone with a, you know, experience behind them, you know what I mean? And we were going that route, to be honest. And then I had opened up auditions for Hannah. Katie submitted for Hannah, actually. And once I saw Katie submit for Hannah, I couldn't get her off my mind. Her audition for Hannah blew me away for Hannah. And I thought, there's no way I could cast this kid as Hannah. If she's Hannah, who the heck is my Kristen going to be? You know, the lead character is going to pale in comparison to this kid. I just felt she was so special. There was just something about her. And that tortured me because we were in talks with other actresses and couldn't get her off my mind. And I kept playing her audition, and I showed it to Mike, the screenwriter. I showed him a bunch of auditions for Hannah, and we just kind of sat quietly and made little notes. And after we compared notes next to Katie's name, both of us completely on our own wrote Kristen. Wow. Next to Katie. Cool. And at that moment, we looked at each other and said, there's no doubt. She is our Kristen.
Okay. So yes. So you were saying about Katie, and just, she was perfect.
Yeah, so that was it. Katie was it. And you know, just keep in mind, in that period of time trying to decide, she wrote me a letter. This is, you know, telling me how much the film meant to her. And so she just won me over. I asked her for when she auditioned for Kristen, I said, I want to have you audition for Kristen instead. I said, why don't you pick a couple scenes in the movie that resonate with you? Show me what you want to show me. And she picked every gut-wrenching. She picked, you saw the film, every scene that she could have picked that in that scene makes you like curl up in a ball, she did. That's what she did. And I just fell in love with her. So once she was in place, now I had to find my Hannah to compliment Kristen. And that's a great story because I went through all the Hannah submissions and there was Paola Andino. And right away, my gut, it's just a gut. I can't explain it. I said, God, I love her. I think she's Hannah. She came in again with the callback. I said, she is Hannah. Contacted Katie and said, hey, I just want to let you know I cast Hannah. And I said, and it's really important to me that you guys have a good connection, and that's what the whole movie's going to, like, it's going to ride on your shoulders, your connection. And Katie said, do you mind asking who she is? I want to look her up. I said, her name is Paola Andino. She goes, she's my best friend. And I was like, get out of here. Yeah. So she goes, go to my Instagram page. And sure enough, I scroll down and there's pictures of her and Paola. And so they were both buddies from Texas. I had no idea, you know, and it just, and then they came to the set with just a relationship that you just, it's hard to find unless there's a long history there. And they were just both amazing to work with. They're brilliant.
You know, watching this movie, I was thinking about, you know, I'm 49 now. I can still remember the day when, if I was watching this movie, I would really relate to the children, the kids, and what they were going through.
Yeah.
But then now you realize as you get older, you go, well, I could see where the parents are coming from. They love their children so much, but sometimes you have to, jobs come, sometimes may come first because you have to support a family.
Listen, that's right.
Yeah. And Bridget, I'm wondering for you, this is a weird question, but when did you start, when you started your becoming a filmmaker and producer, did you have different priorities than what you do now? Meaning you maturing as an artist to make a film like Snow Babies, as opposed to where you were from the get-go?
From the get-go when I started my career?
Yeah.
You mean? Well, interestingly enough, I'm all over the map as far as that. I was an actor for years. I studied theater. I did stage. I've always loved stage. So I was a stage actor. And then I got into comedy. I did stand-up comedy for a while, and I was on Comedy Central. Wasn't really for me, and oddly enough, one of the things I really had a hard time with comedy is, as ironic as it is, it's the most depressing. I mean, when I was like on the road, and you know, or you're like with these other comics who are just so funny on stage, and then off stage, they're some of the most depressing, you know, people I probably, it just shocked me, you know, and it didn't fit me. And I was having a hard, it was hard. It was hard for me. And I'm very collaborative and I'm, you know, fairly good natured, you know, so, you know, it, I just didn't fit in that world. I felt, you know, and I also do love the collaboration, which in comedy, it's a very loner thing. So I got back into stage and I started directing and I started like, wow, I really like this. I'm really into directing. And that's how I got in the film. I mean, that's how I directed the first film. As a person, just as where I am now in my life, I'm where you are in your life. You know, my view of directing this film, if I was in my 20s, I think probably would have been so different than where I am now, right? Because you bring a world of experience behind you. And I'm like you. I totally get the parents. And I've been hearing criticisms of sometimes the parents, well, they're neglectful, not in the movie, but in general, well, parents are neglectful and it's like, are you kidding me? You know, with all these parents are juggling today with the cost of college, with the cost to make a living, with most parents being, most families, two parent, they're both working. You know, I mean, this is not a black and white issue. This is a very complex issue. And I think less judgment and a little more understanding goes a long way, you know, and to do some good.
Speaking of doing some good, I mean, without, you know, this is a movie that's coming out on various platforms, but you maybe if you made this film when you're in your 20s, you'd say, okay, well, if this movie makes profit or when it makes profits, it'll all come to me because I'm working. I'm a DIY artist and it's my thing. But can you just talk about how Snow Babies is not a film for self-edification? It's really, you really want to reach out. Proceeds, you want to help organizations and the soundtrack, all that.
Well, again, I'm going to go back to when we did the research. I mean, there's just no way you meet with all these families who lost children. There's no way you meet with addicts telling you all their stories and their battles with recovery. And it, there's no way, because I got very personally involved with these families. I mean, I probably have 200 emails with every one of them, a different story. So For Mike and I, we knew from the beginning that this was beyond a movie. We all thought of it as a movement from day one to bring awareness, to start a conversation, keep the conversation going, and do some good and save some lives. And that was our approach from the beginning. And look, we all want to make money, right? I mean, there's no doubt we all want to make money, you know, but this to us, this was a movie that had to be done right and with a good purpose. And then teaming up with Alan Kovac, with Better Noise, I mean, just a dream come true, because that's his mission as well. And so, and Nikki Sixx. So now you have all these people now on board together, and we got some strong powerhouses behind us and Global Recovery Initiatives program. And, you know, it's just, it's kind of getting all the people with the same cause on board, and they're all supporting this film. I can't ask for more than that, you know?
You know, I think this film, it was finished maybe 2 years ago, and then you started editing?
No, we started filming it. We started filming it a year and a half ago, maybe a little over a year and a half ago. And then we went back in for some reshoots late spring, summer, I think it was. And then it finally got finished months later.
Yeah. Are we sounding too alarmist, or is it right on target, meaning the release of this film? Because the idea of sheltering in place is for our own safety. But when you are socially distancing from people and you are sheltered, no matter what kind of addiction, it can really come out to bear for any person.
100%. Yeah, it's all worse now. It's all worse. COVID, so basically what we're told to do for COVID is polar opposite of someone, an addict, of what they need to do, or anyone dealing with depression or mental illness. I mean, it's a complete opposite. So unfortunately, that number is rising, you know, because their whole life needs to be about connecting, needs to be about reaching out and being heard and being supportive. So yeah, there couldn't be a better time to release this film. Also with everything going on, you know, we tend to forget. Look, we tend to forget, period, right? I mean, there's always some big issue going on where we tend to forget the other issues. And this is one issue that COVID is definitely dominating right now, and rightly so. It's we're in a bad place, but we can't forget issues like this. We can't, because when you do, people die. So it's, you know, we can still talk about it. I think it's also a big topic around election time. I'm not afraid to say it. So around election time, everybody's like, you know, it's their big platform. And then after the election, it's like, what happened? You know, where'd it go? Where'd your care for this issue go? Like, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. We got to keep it going. So this is one way to do that.
Bridget, if someone looks at Philly Born Productions on your website, you feel like you're your own movie studio, and that making your own film, writing a script or getting a script made is impossible. It seems
so hard.
It's so hard. What is your secret sauce? And I'm sure that secret sauce is just a lot of work, but what is the key to all getting all these projects, all your ducks in a row, and then just having so many, you know, juggling so many balls?
My secret sauce is named Mike Walsh. I'll be honest with you. My secret sauce is the producer, the writer. He's just brilliant. He's so smart, and he works nonstop. And he did for Snow Babies to bring it to life. He did for this. And I'm just in awe of him, you know. And I direct, and we're partners. And but as far as getting the movies made, getting the funding, he deserves all the credit. He deserves all the credit for that, you know, but there's no doubt it's a lot of work. And again, with COVID going on right now for the indie filmmakers, lower budget indie filmmakers, you know, you're talking about, you do a $500,000 film and it's another $100,000 for the COVID testing and all that. I mean, that to an indie filmmaker, that's like virtually impossible. It's just, I don't know what the answer is, but it's certainly going to make it hard for the lower budget indie filmmakers to make it through this, because we don't have the money the big studios have, you know. So, but we have voices, you know. So we want to say what we want to say, and we want to get it done.
Bridget, on finding your own voice, you were talking about on your early days being a comic and starting off on a different road. Were you pretty much, as far as becoming a director, were you pretty much self-taught? As linear as you grab a camera, you read some books, or you learn on the job? What was that path for you to become where you are today right now?
Yeah, the path for me was exactly that, learning on the job. It's exactly what it was. I tried reading books. You know, I'm not that kind of a learner. I'm a hands-on. I have to do it to learn. I read books, and sometimes I'll read the same page 30 times, and I'm like, I don't know what he's talking about. I need to do it, you know? And so that's how I was with directing. The one thing I did bring to the table that was good is I can communicate with actors. I have that because I have a great rapport with the actors, and I was confident in that. But then there's a whole other world that you have to gain confidence in. You got to know how to about shots and framing. You got to work with the DP. You got to work with the crew. You got to work with wardrobe. You know, there was so much, and no doubt about it, I learned on the job and I learned fast. But listen, I was blessed because I had that. This was the best collaborative experience working with this team. I was smart. I put the best people around me at what they did. I trusted them, and they didn't lead me wrong. I mean, it was a very collaborative Snow Babies. You know what I mean?
With all the hard work you put into it, do you have time to breathe and relax and say to yourself, wow, you know, just seeing how Katie or Paola, young actors, how they were able to grow from your experience and just being a part of that. They say film is a family thing.
It was a family. It was.
It must mean a lot for you, not just the subject matter to get out, but just to see them flower and to grow.
Oh, you've got to be kidding. First of all, I love those girls with all my heart. I mean, they're like my little sisters, and they'll say that too. I was so proud of them in this film. I'm so proud of their performances. And you talk about research and coming prepared. They couldn't have come more prepared, ready for this role. They take direction beautifully. They're open to it. They want it. I just love them. And to watch them grow from this, to see them get more opportunities from this, because I think they're getting really noticed right now. And I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. Bridget, my final question to you is, it's a movie question. As a cinephile, right off the top of your head, can you name one of your all-time favorite movies? And what is it about this specific film that still resonates with you today?
Believe it or not, I think American Beauty stands out. I remember going to see it, and I loved about it is, first of all, it was beautifully done, beautifully shot, beautifully acted. But it's that same idea of what happens behind closed doors. What we all live with this facade of, like, what life looks like. What is that person's life like in the nice house in their perfect little world? And I think what people need to understand is everybody has their demons, and everybody has an ugly truth and a secret and shame, and everybody has something that they're hiding. And I said this, and I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, someone's telling me they don't have anything that they're hiding or they're ashamed about or something, they're lying. We all have it. And American Beauty, the way that was done and the way everything was handled, it just jumped out at me at that time. And it definitely influenced me, because I remember walking out of that movie and I was like, I'd love to make a movie like that. I'd love to be a filmmaker and tell that story, you know? So that does jump out at me.
Bridget, sure. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
I appreciate your film Ripping My Heart Out. So really appreciate
that. Oh, man. Sorry, my next one's going to be a comedy.
Okay, cool. Okay, guys, I'm back. So again, Snow Babies comes out on VOD and digital on Tuesday, September 29th. And yeah, tell me what you think of the movie once you see it, or the soundtrack once, or if you listen to it, all that stuff. Would love to hear your feedback on Snow Babies. Also, subscribe to our Cinematics YouTube. I currently have a giveaway running this week. I purchased for $5 each sealed copies of Big Trouble in Little China, The Hitman's Bodyguard, Hostels, and something else. I forgot the other movie. I'm blanking, but I'm looking at my YouTube. Yeah, Big Trouble in Little China, Hostels, The Hitman's Bodyguard, and Hacksaw Ridge. Those Blu-rays are available if you are a member of, if you subscribe to our Cinematics YouTube. I'm going to put a link to that giveaway that runs all week this week. So smash a like or whatever if you want to enter it. I have all that information on our Cinematics YouTube channel. And is there anything else I should plug? I can't think of anything else. Hope you guys are doing well. Thank you for supporting me and Anderson. Oh yeah, my interview with Bridget Smith, the full video interview, which we did a Zoom thing, the unedited version is going to be featured exclusively for our Cinematics Patreon members, the full interview. I'm not going to put the full interview in any of the platforms I use, just maybe parts of it. But the full interview will be for our Cinematics Patreon members. And again, for this month's Patreon backers, you will be treated to an extra episode of Cinematics as Anderson and I talk about Anatomy of a Murder and the Francois Truffaut movie. I was going to say the 500 Blows, but I believe it's the 400 Blows. I am completely Yeah, the 400 blows. I have to see the 400 blows. That was my pick for this week. I'm going to cram for that. But I just finished Anatomy of a Murder. Again, I can't wait to talk about that film, even though that's Anderson's pick. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of bebop and jazz. One thing about Anatomy of a Murder is it has an amazing soundtrack by Duke Ellington. Okay, so that's it. Snow Babies, check it out. Tell us what you think. And thanks again for the support. Take care, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.